Okay, it's lovely to be here. Lovely to have those lovely worship songs, singing them together. And it's a great honour to be here on your anniversary, your 30th anniversary of the forming of this fellowship. And I dressed up smart. I went and got my trousers pressed. I got my smart shoes. Got a nice shirt and a tie, expecting that because it was a big celebration, all the men would be like this. I can't see one man around. I'm grateful for your odd. There is. Thank you. Okay, there's a few of us. But you're wearing a jacket. Do you want me to wear the jacket as well? Okay. So it's lovely being here. I'm the pastor of Swindon Community Church. We've been here 3 years. We've had some times together here. We've joined in with you just after COVID. We were very, very small and we wanted a bit of encouragement, so we came and joined in your meetings. And it's good that this church is running in the community, being a witness. The gospel is being spoken. People are worshipping. People are praying together. People being gathered. Wherever that happens, it's a blessing. When I heard that, Susan, your secretary, admin, you don't call yourself secretary, no. When I was contacted about coming to speak, your planning is amazing. You work 6-7 months in advance. And I got an invitation, and then they found out that we're going to do the celebration. So it's a sort of accident that I'm here doing your celebration. But when I prayed about it, I felt the Lord remind me of something from the Old Testament. And it was about the stone that Samuel raised up. And it was called Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is this sort of a stone of remembrance to remember that God actually powerfully came for the children of Israel. And you get this in the Old Testament. I don't know if any of you have been on holiday to it's not a very good quality photograph, but I've been down to the beaches there, and where you see people build these stones one on top of another. Have you seen this? Yeah. Has anybody had a go at this? Okay, so you put up your hand there. In a minute, could you come and show us? I've got some stones here. Are you happy to come and show us, David? And I've got a table here. In a minute, I'm just going to read some scripture first, so don't be under pressure. But we're going to see who builds the biggest little tower. Okay, so these stones and this Ebenezer, we need to just say what you know, when we say Ebenezer, what comes to your mind? And so these are the things that come to mind. Number one, it's a name. You know, Christmas time, there's an Ebenezer. Anybody know?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, Scrooge. That's right, Ebenezer Scrooge. This old man who was very miserable. And then that was his name. And then, of course, he has this wonderful change because he has a dream about what he's going to be like and everything, and he changes. Ebenezer, actually, there's a little line in a hymn by a guy called Robert Robinson. And he wrote this hymn in 1758. And it goes, "Come thou fount of every blessing." And I think it's a third verse talks about, "I will raise my Ebenezer because, Lord, you've led us this far," etc. And it's a line in a hymn. And it's also this Bible, it's mentioned twice in the Bible, and there's a place called Ebenezer, and then there is this stone that Samuel gets and places in a place between Mizpah and Shen. And we're going to look at this little passage in a minute. And the meaning of Ebenezer, it's a stone of help. Now, you might think, well, the stone didn't help anybody. And no, there are some people that, you know, worship stones, aren't there, or have stones and crystals. And well, that's interesting. But actually, this stone is about God helping Israel. And they wanted to remember. That's what we're doing today. 30 years ago, at Gore's Hill Baptist Church, I think the little sort of history behind it, some people there began to feel God stirring them up about church planting. And as they talked about it and prayed about it, they said, we've got a great congregation here, but we need to plant something and affect a community. And as they prayed about it and said, where are we going to plant then if we're going to plant? And they realized a lot of them lived around Lawn. So they thought, well, why don't we plant right where we live? So this fellowship got formed 30 years ago. And they may have had their ups and their downs. But here we are all together celebrating, giving thanks for God for this witness into the community, for a lot of work and a lot of prayer and a lot of lovely praise and honoring of God. I think that affects the whole community. You know, it brings peace to the community. As people of God meet together and pray, it affects the whole community. So God, we're going to see in this passage in a minute, but before we do that, before we look at the passage, should we get these guys out? And we want to see, okay, here we go then. And we're going to, if you could come out, and we'll put these two tables here. I didn't want to put it out at the beginning. People would be worried about what it is. I have purchased a nice sack of stones here. I've got some gloves. You're coming to help.
It's all right.
Hi, Wayne. Oh, yeah, no, okay, we need two people because there's a bit of a competition. David, let him help, but I think we still need you. And there's some gloves here. And as we're looking at the scripture, I'm going to just do a little cut across there. Okay, a little cut across there. And I hope amongst these stones, you will be able to build. Okay, there's your gloves. Okay. Oh, well done. Right, here's some gloves. Okay. Now, there's no real rules here. It's just see your pie here. I mean, some people do it one on top of another, but you don't have to. You can do a few around, give yourself a base, and up you go. So, on your marks, get set, off you go. You don't have to use a glove, but you can if you want. Okay. So, anyway, So this is very distracting, isn't it? But what we're going to do is look at the background to this whole incident of Ebenezer. So this is the scripture. I'm going to read it to you. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. And the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods, the Ashtoreth, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord on that day. They fasted. There they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel in Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But the Lord, but that day, sorry, I was getting distracted with a pile of stones here, very different going on. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point of Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone. Now, we got lots of stones, but there was just one stone. He took a stone. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Okay, now they haven't quite finished. They've got a few more. Okay, go. Just keep going. You've got a few more minutes. Okay. Keep going. You might be able to do it. Yeah. And anyway, so they set up this stone because the Lord delivered them. Now, it's very interesting, the background to this, because the Israelites have been defeated two times already. The Ark of God had been taken away, and Israel was at a low, low ebb. And then they get to this point, and they realize that they've got to turn back to God. So they come as a whole people and turn back to God and go to Samuel and say, we want to return to the Lord wholeheartedly and give ourselves to the Lord. And God listens to their cry. And then, as they're gathering and coming back to the Lord, all of a sudden they hear that the Philistines are going to attack them again. And they're full of fear. They're really fearful because twice already they've been defeated by the Philistines. And you have the third time. Okay, 1 minute more and then it's finished, right? 1 minute more. And so they're all fearful and they're discouraged. And they say to Samuel, call out to God for help. Because they assume that the same thing's going to happen. They're going to be defeated again. I don't know if you get like this, but if things have gone wrong, you think, oh, this is a cycle. I'm always failing. And then what happens is, as Samuel's interceding, God works and sends thunder and lightning. And it just totally confuses the Philistines. Darkness, thunder, lightning, all happening. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's give these guys a round of applause, please. Oh, here we are. Here we have our Ebenezers. This one here is... I think he gets a prize for the nicest looking one. Okay. This one here is a little bit higher. So I think we have to give these two guys a quick round of applause. And I'm sorry, Mum, I didn't bring three pairs of gloves. There's a tap outside anyway. So never mind. Okay, so this is the background. A background to defeat. So let's just look quickly, if I can, three little points here. Great disappointments and defeats can motivate us into wholehearted response to God. Personal testimony. I became a Christian in my Baptist church over in Bristol as a youngster, real youngster. I think I was 11 years old. And there was a message there on a Sunday evening. I responded. I became a Christian. It made a big difference to my life. I was at school. I was one of a very few in my class that actually was a Christian. We got persecuted because We stood for good things, godly things, and wouldn't do what other people did. And so I went through my years. Mm-hmm. And then in my teenage years, although I continued to go to church and got taken to church, I drifted away from God. I went away from God. I was in a holiday in Germany with some friends, and they were all going down to the lake to swim in the lake. And I was too ashamed to say, I don't actually swim. So what I thought I'd do, I'd just mess around in the shallow part of the lake and nobody would notice I couldn't swim. The problem was that as they all jumped in and swam the lake, I followed them in, expecting that under your feet you would be able to step on the bottom, because I never went out of my height, you know, because I'm quite tall, you know, that's quite useful. And so I jumped in and messed around, swam about, swam a bit, needed to get my breath, so I put my feet on the bottom. But there wasn't a bottom to put my feet in. And I started going down, and they tell you this, do not panic. What did I do? I panicked. And I tried to breathe in the air, but there wasn't any air, it was water. So I was taking in water. I thrashed around in the water, and suddenly I thought, I'm going to drown. And things of my life, the way I'd gone away from God, done a lot of things I would be ashamed of to tell you here, and it was like in front of me a computer screen of all the things I'd done. In the water, I cried out to God, God, please give me a second chance. Thankfully, the people around saw me. They were a distance off, but they swam over, came and got me. Because I was thrashing around so much and it was deep, one of them had to bang me on the head to stop me thrashing around. They pulled me to the bank, got the water out of me, and I was breathing. I was all right. They rescued me. It was like God got hold of me. And I look back and I think, God, you intervened. You came in, you rescued me. And I'll often tell people, I'm living here, this is my second chance. And it took a little period of time, but I came back to the Lord wholeheartedly. And my cry was, Lord, because you gave me a second chance, I want to serve you. I want to share the good news with other people. I want to help build your church. I want to be a kingdom man of God. And so I returned. So great disappointments, great defeats motivate us to come back wholeheartedly. And God loves this wholeheartedness that he gives. Secondly, God loves to intervene. You know, he intervened in this situation with the Philistines, who were, you know, who were clearly a better army than the Israelites. What does he do? Because God is on their side. God has a way of working things out we don't understand or don't explain. So he sends the thunder and the lightning, and the Philistines get totally confused, and they are defeated. God intervenes. No, this is just, again, a bit of personal testimony. When I was at school, I had real trouble spelling and reading. A slow reader and a terrible speller. And my dad would say to me, I just don't know how you're going to get on in life. If you can't spell and you can't learn to read properly, life's going to be terrible for you. And probably wasn't the most encouraging thing to say. And so I really struggled. Now, I was quite creative. My art was quite good. I was reasonably good at sport, music. I was reasonably good at creative and everything. But when it came to comprehension, writing essays, spelling, I would get into a freeze. What basically happened was, in my years when I was drifting away from God, I was in a wrong relationship with another girl, and that had to finish. And I thought, well, Lord, please, I do want to get married. And there down in Exeter, where I was studying at college, there was a lovely girl there in the house group. So I really believe in house groups. I just want to say this, because that's where I met my lovely wife. And so we spent time, we chatted to one another, we did things to get one another. And I asked her what, you know, what she'd done. And she had gone to university and she had studied English. And her spelling and her grammar were brilliant. And I thought, hey, this is good. So now, God intervened for me. My dad might say, how are you going to cope in life? I coped in life because God intervened and gave me Diana, or Di should be here today. She's just had an operation 4 weeks ago. She's just recovering. She can't do two services in one day. And so she chose our service this afternoon rather than here. Anyway, God, so when I do a PowerPoint, I can make loads of mistakes. But she checks it beforehand. So if there's any mistakes on her, it's her fault. That's wrong, isn't it? You know, and God intervened. There's other, you know, I was with a group of youth over in near Whitney, a place called Camfield. They're having a special weekend, special camp. I'm asked to go and speak. And the last time I did this 3 years ago. And I'm talking about praying for one another and asking God to help and asking God to heal difficulties and problems and physical things like this. And 3 years ago, I was doing this with a whole group of youngsters, probably 200 young people, and I looked for a guy to hold the microphone as I was praying and showing them a few things. And I picked out a guy and I thought, this is a good guy. And I said, could you hold the microphone? This guy told us the story yesterday. He wasn't interested in God. Although he was at the camp, he was under pressure to go. He wasn't interested in God. He wasn't going God's way at all. He was ready to go and do some stuff. And but when he held the microphone, saw people getting changed, transformed, touched by God, people crying, people feeling the power of God in their bodies. And he said, I realize that there is a God. He is at work in these people. I can't go on drifting away from God. I've got to come back to him. He was there yesterday as one of the young leaders. And I go, thank you, Lord. I was involved in a little bit in the process. He loves to intervene. Oh, I need to quickly just finish off. Two little more points. It's important to stop and thank God that he's been involved. That's what we're doing today. We're thanking him. Thank you, Lord, for 30 years. We've been through, this is any fellowship, our ups and our downs. We've been through it. But look, God has been at work 30 years. Prayers. Worship has been going on. Community has been helped. People have given generously. And it's a lovely thing. No, church planting isn't for all of us. Because it's jolly hard work. We are trying to do the same in Swindon Community Church. Sometimes I've got to go out. I'm the pastor. I'm speaking. And I've got to go out the other side of Swindon and collect a group of people to bring them. Why? So that we'll have a congregation to preach to and be around. So you do think church planting and church, small church is hard work. But God loves to do it. He loves to work. He loves to do it. And we can say, thus far, the Lord has led us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good. That's why we're here today. And the last little thing, I believe, this is what an Ebenezer speaks about. He speaks of that it's also, you see, they set up that stone, Samuel set up that stone so that they would remember that the Lord had been with them and that he would go on being with them. He'd take them into a future purpose. Now, in Philippians, Paul, one more click, Paul talks about looking forward. He says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Now, when he says forgetting, I don't think he's saying, block your mind off. Don't even think about the past. He's saying, you know, don't just dwell in the past. Don't spend all your time telling stories about the good old days, which will block what God's doing in the future. He says, now look, past is great, but look, there's also a moving forward, a moving on. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you. Do you know, is there some creative things that God wants you to take hold of in the future? And as you remember the past and give thanks for the past, is there some new things he's giving you? I was with a group of leaders and pastors on Tuesday of this week. This is Highworth Community Church. And they were looking around at their fellowship and they said, you know what, we've not got many youth and young people. How are we going to affect the town? And somebody came up with the idea. They have a little, I think a little place called The Bridge. And so what they did, they gave out leaflets to all the youth that come out of the schools and around and said, at The Bridge, we're having free donuts and prayer, if anybody wants to be prayed. So they give out these leaflets and they have masses of young people coming in to get their free donuts. And they're grabbing their free donuts. I think when they started it, and within a week they'd given out 360 donuts or something. You know, loads of donuts. You know, but the girl telling us the story said, there's one little guy came in, he got his donut, and then about 10 minutes later he came back and they thought, cool, he wants another donut. That's a bit quick, isn't it? You only had one 10 minutes ago. He came back and just said, and he sat down and said, would you pray for me? My home situation. And then he revealed what the pain in his home and what he was doing. And they were able to pray for him. And he's linking out, he's come back again. You know, creative ways that God has got. God, I believe, has got creative ways for things to move forward and ideas that come from heaven. We can't see with our natural eyes what... But God gives people just wonderful ideas that come from him. You know, Israelites couldn't see that God was going to send thunder and lightning and confuse all the Philistines. But that's what he did. Because God has got wonderful creative ways of fulfilling his purposes. I want to encourage you. As we remember today, give thanks for today, God also wants us to look to the future. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.